Hi again, everybody. I'm Dan Horde, and thanks for downloading the Bengals Booth podcast. The
If you are what you say you are, a superstar
edition, as five Cincinnati sports legends share their thoughts on Joe Burrow. Plus, I'll talk to tight end Drew Sample about his comeback from knee surgery. And then, did you know that six current Bengals have been on Super Bowl winning teams? I'll talk to each of them about their Super Bowl ring. The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Bengals Picks and Ultimate Bengals, the free-to-play with tickets and signed merchandise up for grabs. Find both inside the Bengals app. Now, here's a quick reminder that you can have the latest edition of this podcast delivered right to your phone, tablet, or computer by subscribing wherever you get your podcasts. It's the greatest thing since the Lost Hans and Franz Movie podcast. So this might not excite you if you are much younger than I am, but there used to be a recurring sketch on Saturday Night Live featuring Hans and Franz, a pair of muscle-bound Austrian bodybuilders in gray sweatsuits who were a spoof of Arnold Schwarzenegger. Here's a little clip from SNL.
Good evening and welcome to Pumping Up with Hans and Franz, the informative training program for the serious weightlifter.
Hello, let us begin by introducing ourselves. I am Hans.
And I'm Franz.
And we want to pump you up.
A little bit about ourselves. We come to the States from a small village of weightlifters in Austria.
Yeah, we hope to follow in our cousin's footsteps, the greatest bodybuilder in the history of the world. Maybe you heard of him. Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Well, as it turns out, a Hans and Franz movie was in the works in the 1990s, but never got made. Now, roughly 30 years later, we get to enjoy it in podcast form. Dana Carvey and Kevin Nealon, who played Hans and Franz, have teamed up with Conan O'Brien and others to read the movie script in a four-part podcast. I listened to part one and laughed out loud on several occasions. Two episodes have been posted so far, and you can find them on the Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend podcast. I predict that the Lost Hans and Franz Movie podcast will pump you up. Now, let's get to football. We've got a fun topic to start this week's podcast as five Cincinnati sports legends discuss Joe Burrow, including two Hall of Famers, a World Series record holder, one of the best college basketball players in Cincinnati history, and a three-time Pro Bowler who helped change the NFL. Up first, 12-time Major League All-Star, 1995 MVP, and Hall of Fame shortstop Barry Larkin. Barry Larkin, what do you respect about Joe Burrow?
Everything. Swag, calm under pressure, leadership, the way he's brought the city together, the fact that he is philanthropic, he's giving of his time, he's using his platform for positive, everything.
He's 3 years in. Do you have a favorite game or moment yet?
I don't know if there's a game. I watch all the games. I love the turnaround that the organization has made. I've always been a Bengals fan. I've always represented the colors down in Florida. And a couple of years ago, it was not so pretty, the response. Now there's a lot of hoodaying going on down there. And, I the Kansas City game. I love the fact that they beat Kansas City in the playoffs. As I said, I just love everything. It's not just him, obviously. He's got a great group around him. Jamar Chase is a monster, T. Higgins. So, all those guys.
How do you feel about the way he carries himself off the field?
I think that's the biggest thing. It's one of respect. And I think, Pete Rose told me when I came to Cincinnati to start playing as a young man, he said, you got to respect the fact you're from Cincinnati, respect Cincinnati. I think he respects Cincinnati.
Final question for Barry Larkin. He's 26, he's about to get a huge contract. Any advice for him at this stage of his life and career?
Just keep doing what you're doing. It seems like he's on top of everything. Just stay humble and continue to do what he's doing.
We go from one Hall of Famer to another. An 11-time Pro Bowler who is widely considered to be the greatest offensive lineman of all time, Anthony Munoz. Anthony, what do you respect and admire about Joe Burrow?
Well, as I watch him, his leadership, And I guess I've shared with my two grandsons who are very involved in athletics. I said, watch Joe. I said, watch him, not because of what he does, throwing the ball or run, but watch how he handles success and adversity. He doesn't get too high, doesn't get too low, and that's what I love in a leader, a guy that you can, you know that guys are going to go and just give it everything they have for him, and it's obvious just watching him. But I love the way, you know, he might throw a, you know, a pick, he comes right back, drives him 80 yards, touchdown, like nothing ever happened prior to that. And you can tell the guys just absolutely love him, you know, playing for him, and so his leadership, not to mention, you know, how he extends and makes plays. But I think the main thing is I watch now with guys how they interact with coaches and players, and I watch that very closely. And, again, not being within the four walls all the time, but watching them during the game and how they interact, I'm very, very impressed.
Does he remind you of anyone you played against or with?
Somewhat Boomer. I think Boomer might have been a little more animated, but you know, haven't played 9 years with Boomer. Love playing for Boomer. I would play for him now if we would put flag football team together. Probably snaps, I wouldn't have to move. But, no, I think he has a little bit of that. Again, I think Boomer had a little more kind of, I don't know, flair to him, but definitely a great leader. The knowledge of the game, you can tell Joe is very knowledgeable as a rookie, and Boomer was that way, so I'd have to say that.
Do you have a favorite moment from his first 3 years?
I guess the one I've had fun with is when he was just about ready to go out of bounds and he threw the touchdown pass. And I have fun with that because people say, well, do you think Boomer could have done that? I said, well, Boomer really never had to scramble and have to do that going out of bounds. He would just sit back and people laugh about that. But that was probably the awareness of where he was and the accuracy that he threw the ball with. I guess that would be the one play that I would still go, oh my.
What do you think of the off the field Joe Burrow, the way he carries himself, the wardrobe, anything?
You know, it's I laugh because I think I had a couple of those type of suits when I was on that. I mean, you know, young guy, it's a new generation, you know, and to me, it's not my cup of tea, but, you know, hey, it works for him, and he looks good in it. So, you know, I remember we had to get a suit. It was a Navy suit and khaki pants for the lineman. It wasn't, you know, the Ricky Dixon three-piece and hat. You know? But, no, I have no problem with it. I think it's pretty cool that he does that.
Final question for Anthony Munoz. He's about to get a big contract extension, a life-changing contract extension. Any advice for him at age 26 as he enters this phase of his life?
Yeah, if he needs someone to drive him around, I'd be willing to caddy for him. You know, I'd light his cigars and hold him as he putts out. But, I think looking at it, he's got, you know, parents that seem to be, you know, very solid. So I think that's a key and very close to the family. So, he has everything together, because nobody has everything together, but I think he's sitting in a good situation to take care of what he's soon going to be getting here from the Bengals organization. So, just family and, make sure you stay tight with that and don't do anything crazy, which I doubt that he'll do.
Our next Cincinnati sports great spent 12 years in Major League Baseball, including 3 seasons in Cincinnati. And in the 1990 World Series, he set a record by having hits in 7 straight at-bats. Outfielder Billy Hatcher.
Billy Hatcher, what do you respect and admire about Joe Burrow?
I mean, he's a winner. He's a leader. Cincinnati's been looking for someone like that for a long, long time. And, you know, plus, he's a good person. I mean, you know, he represents the state of Ohio and the city of Cincinnati. He represents us very, very well. Just keep on going, and, hey, we want to see us back in the Super Bowl.
Do you have a favorite Burrow moment, game, anything that stands out?
No, I just like to watch him play. I mean, he plays with so much heart. I mean, you see, even when the team is going bad, you know, he always finds a way to lift them up. And when they're down, he finds a way to make it interesting. And when they're winning, he knows how to finish it off.
Is there anybody from your sport that he reminds you of in any way?
It's very hard to say, because as a quarterback, you can control a lot of things. You know, pretty much only in baseball, the one person that can control something is pretty much the pitcher. So, you know, I would say he's like a Nolan Ryan. A Nolan Ryan, when you needed him the most, he was always there.
What do you think of Joe Burrow off the field?
He's not in the paper for anything negative. you know, when you're a superstar, when you're a Joe Burrow, a person like him, you know, you always have something that they've done. But this guy, I mean, you never hear anything. The only thing you hear about him is good things, and that's a good thing about it.
He's 26. He's 3 years into his career. He's about to become very, very wealthy. Any advice for him going forward at this stage of his life and his career?
Don't change. He got you this far. You're good people. You're a good person. You're a good leader. The city of Cincinnati loves you. And I know you love Cincinnati. I know you love Ohio. Just keep being Joe.
Up next, a college football Hall of Famer who was drafted by the Bengals in 1986 and helped change the game by playing safety with a linebacker's physique. Three-time Pro Bowler David Fulcher. David, what do you respect about Joe Burrow?
Everything. And I know that's pretty big, a bit wide, but what I respect about this kid is just the knowledge of not just playing football, but the knowledge of a human being. He brings something to Cincinnati that we've been missing for a very, very long time. And I played with Kenny, 1 year with Kenny, and then my career with Boomer. Just the presence of him being there. He's an offensive coordinator on the football field. He's a quarterback, we all know that, but he's an OC of doing great things, and he's a great man for the city of Cincinnati, and he just puts a lot out there that if I had a kid that was growing up and wanted to be like their daddy David, I would want him to be like Joe Burrow.
About the highest praise you can give somebody. Does he remind you of anybody you played with or against?
He's out there with a bunch of people, man. You know, the savvy of a Tom Brady, the know-how and the will to get it done in Joe Montana, the guts and the grit of Jim McMahon, and the hurry up and do what I tell you to do in Boomer Esiason.
A laundry list of great guys. Do you have a favorite moment from his first 3 years?
Wow. I know this may sound crazy. It's a favorite moment of him getting hurt and watching him on that stretcher being taken off. And he put the finger up and the thumbs up and said, I'll be back. That and just every time he sees the field, you know. I think one of them was a good one where I don't know if it was against the Raiders in the playoffs, or maybe it was Kansas City, where he was scrambling, did all these kind of circles and rolled out to the right, ran for the first down and got up with the ball in his hand and flipped it a little bit. You know, most people call that cocky. I call it confidence. And the kid's remarkable.
What do you think of the way he carries himself off the field?
This is where when I say a 25-year-old, if that's his age.
26 now.
26 now. The 26-year-old handles pressure like the 45-year-old guy in Tom Brady. Off the field, he's quiet. I don't know if he really likes to be interviewed. And I kind of watch him sometimes. He looks like he's shy. But he's about business. When he goes to work with the Bengals, he goes to work. When work is over, he goes home, and he's relaxing now. And not too many 26-year-olds think that way.
Last thing for the great David Fulcher. He's about to get paid. He's going to be a $50 million a year man. Any advice for him at age 26 about to land a deal like that?
Well, you know, I think he's smart enough, and he's got a great family background and good backing and good support of people around him. Yeah, it's a lot of money. I've actually kind of been around and listened to him and maybe talked to him. I don't think he's really concerned about the money. I think he's more concerned about the weapons that he's got around him. So distribute that money to them weapons. Give me a little bit, even though I know the NFLPA won't allow him to take less. But I don't think it's going to change his mind. I think he's still going to play because he wants to win championships. So whether it's $50 million or $30 million, he's still going to get the job done.
Our fifth and final Cincinnati sports legend to weigh in on Joe Burrow is one of the area's all-time best college basketball players, the all-time leading scorer at Xavier, where his number 23 is retired, Byron Larkin. Byron Larkin, what do you respect about Joe Burrow?
One, his obvious talent, his winning attitude, what he has brought back to the city. You know, we've had first-round draft choices, obviously, every year. But he has seemed to be able to galvanize the city because, I mean, he's one of the best players in the game. And it's just wonderful to see. I love his humility. He doesn't seem to be all about him. And I just, you know, I love his talent. I love his attitude.
Does he remind you of anybody from your sport?
You know, LeBron James is obviously a super talented guy and seems to be very humble and very sharing with his gifts and his, you know, ability to be active in the community. I see Joe as kind of that kind of guy off the court. Now, it remains to be seen if he's one of the best to ever put on a uniform, but boy, he certainly has a great start, no doubt. And it's wonderful that what he's brought to the city and winning, you know, winning is the best and is the best thing. And he's been the core of that for the Bengals, and it's just united the city, and it's just great.
Do you have a favorite game or moment so far?
There have been multiple moments. I like when the chips are down. You know, it's the last 2 minutes. They need to score. Everybody knows what he's going to do, yet he's still able to do it. You know, multiple games. You know, was it Kansas City last couple years of the Kansas City playoff game? It just multiple situations. Being able to rise to the top in the biggest situations is truly the mark of a great player, and I think that's what he is.
What do you think of off the field, Joe Burrow?
Well, I don't know much about that. I just know he's from Athens, Ohio. I heard he was a really great basketball player in high school, like most athletes. But I liked his humility. He seems to be a guy, not all about him, and that he's very fortunate, and he wants to share his influence and gifts with the people around him, and those are the great kind of people that you want to look up to.
He's 26. He's about to get paid. Any advice for Joe Burrow?
Just be humble, man. don't make the money, man. Don't let the money make him, man. Make the money, man. Just don't get out of his lane, and just have some sense about him. You know, just because you see a lot of times and people get paid. I mean, getting paid is just a different deal now. $300-400 million contracts. It's hard to blow that kind of money. But I think if Joe is how he seems, family around him, good common sense, just keep his wits about him, I think he'll be fine, obviously.
The Bengals Booth podcast is brought to you by Alta Fiber, future-proof fiber internet capable of delivering multi-gigabit speeds designed to take your home, business, and community to a new level. Elevate your connection with Alta Fiber. And by Paycor. More than 29,000 customers trust Paycor to help them recruit, pay, engage, and retain employees. Learn more at paycor.com. 2 years ago, tight end C.J. Uzomah had 49 catches for 493 yards. Last year, Hayden Hurst had very similar stats with 52 catches for 414. The Bengals are hoping that free agent Irv Smith Jr. can provide similar production. But he's not the only tight end on the roster. Drew Sample is back for a fifth season in Cincinnati as he signed a one-year contract after missing nearly all of last year with a knee injury. And while Drew is known primarily for his blocking, he did have 40 catches back in 2020. I caught up with him in the Bengals locker room. Let's start physically. How are you?
Feeling good, yeah. I think I'm about 7 or so months, obviously, from the knee that happened game two. But I'm pretty much doing everything now. It's just, you know, being smart and making sure I'm, you know, staying on track to where I've been.
It probably created some uncertainty in your own mind for where you were going to be, what was going to happen going forward. How do you feel about the way things worked out?
Yeah, I'm obviously super glad to be back. You know, this has been my home the last 4 years. I'm, you know, familiar with the team, the staff, and, you know, to go through what we went through, you know, for my first year, you know, to getting Joe, to Super Bowl, AFC, all that, you know, I felt like there was definitely, you know, unfinished business, and I feel like the team is, you know, as it has been the last 2 years, trending in the direction, and so, you know, obviously I was very happy to be back.
I thought you were off to a good start last year. Did you feel that way, and did that make it that much more difficult to have to miss the bulk of the season?
Yeah, I felt like I was in a good spot last year. You know, I had a good camp. You know, didn't do any preseason, and so then, you know, coming to the Steelers game, I felt like I was getting my, you know, getting back into the rhythm of things. And then, like I said, the Dallas game was felt good, you know, at the start. And then, obviously, you know, injuries happen. Unfortunately, that's part of the game. So then, you know, just attacked rehab, knowing I was going to be back for this season somewhere. So I'm just glad to be back here and back, you know, kind of doing, you know, getting healthy and doing everything I need to be doing.
So in the weeks leading up to the draft, Zach Taylor and Duke Tobin said, we feel really good about our tight end group. We love having Irv Smith here. We like having Drew Sample back. And then in the draft, they did not select any tight ends. Was that an even bigger sign than hearing those words that the Bengals have faith and trust in you guys?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the draft and, you know, they're – you know, they've been really good at that, and, you know, I let them do their thing. So, you know, that's obviously great to hear, but, you know, we're always, you know, open trying to make this team as good as possible. So, they, you know, if there's a tight end available that they thought could make our team better, then, you know, I'm all for that. So, but, no, I mean, I think we have a good room. I think we got guys with good experience. And, obviously, James, you know, being our coach, like, he's, you know, he's been a fantastic coach. And, you know, we have a really good feel in this offense for the things that we need to do to, you know, be successful as an offense and as a team. So, you know, I feel like we're in a good spot for that.
Did you know much about Irv before he joined the team?
Yeah, I'd met him a couple times, I think, Nashville, tight end U. You know, obviously, we are from the same draft class. So I had seen him here and there. You know, I can't remember if we had talked or not, but he's an awesome dude just being next to him right now. You know, I'm excited for him to, you know, get with Joe, get with the team, get with the offense, because I think our team is a special team, just the camaraderie we have and, you know, such a great locker room. So I'm excited to have him be a part of that.
What is it about James Casey that helps develop tight ends to take that next step?
I just think his experience of, you know, having done it at a high level, you know, in the NFL, I think he just has a better understanding, you know, of the game and of the tight end position. And I think, you know, it's great for us because he doesn't ask us to do anything that, you know, he's really never done himself. So, you know, that gives you a lot of confidence. You know, if he does ask you to, you know, we have to do a lot of things in the pass game, run game, you know, pass pro, stuff like that. And so he, you know, he's been around a lot of good players, whether that's, you know, receivers, tight ends, O-linemen. And so he just has a really good knowledge of the game. And on top of that, you know, he studies film like no one else. He helps us with cut-ups. He, you know, really tries to give us a full understanding, you know, of our offense, of defenses and things like that. So I feel like that's been, you know, such a great, you know, person to have in our room because he really is – it really helps with everything. And it helps, you know, the game slow down and it helps you just – it allows us as tight ends just to go out and play fast.
Good to catch up. Best of luck on a healthy and productive season.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate it.
The Bengals Booth Podcast is brought to you by Kettering Health, the official healthcare provider of the Bengals. With more than 120 care facilities and 1,500 care providers, Kettering Health is committed to guiding you to your best health. Visit ketteringhealth.org to learn more. Over the next 10 minutes or so, I'm about to give you the answers to a good trivia question. Name the 6 players on the Bengals' current roster who have earned Super Bowl rings. Here's how I'm going to do it. I thought it would be fun to talk to each of them about their rings, so we'll go in chronological order. Up first, quarterback Trevor Siemian. He was a rookie with Denver in 2015 when the Broncos beat the Panthers in Super Bowl 50, appearing in one regular season game that year. Do you remember your emotions when you received it?
I do. Very special moment. It's, you know, you remember all the teams you're on, but certainly there's something a little different about everybody in the same room. I think we opened up like a shiny box and you get this big ring. Very cool moment. Shared it with, you know, teammates who I'll have a special bond with for the rest of my life.
Do you break it out for any occasions?
It's currently in a safety deposit box in Minnesota. I think my father-in-law put it there, so. No, I don't wear it much, like out to the bar or anything. I need to get it, though, and bring it out one or two times shortly here. I think it'd be good.
They're so big, they're hard to wear.
Yeah, not subtle. So I don't, you know, I don't know where exactly I'd wear it. And maybe not out to dinner with my wife or anything. But, yeah, I'm sure there's some good occasions. I gotta break it out, though.
They try to give these rings some sort of unique feature that means something to the players and coaches. Is there anything about that Broncos ring that they added to it, a saying or some element of the design that's especially meaningful?
Yeah, I think on ours we had the, you know, this one's for Pat, the late Pat Bowlen, which was pretty cool, I thought. So, yeah, that was our special thing. But, shoot, it's been so long since I've seen it or brought it out. I don't know much other than that about it.
Is it your most prized possession?
Is it my most prized possession? No.
Something else come to mind?
It's up there. It's my if my wife's listening to this, it's my wedding ring.
Mrs. Simeon, I hope you approve of that answer.
Yeah, that's right.
The following year, Ted Karras earned the first of two Super Bowl rings with the Patriots. He was on the 2016 team that rallied from a 28-3 deficit to beat Atlanta and earned another ring 2 years later when New England beat the Rams. Ted, you remember the feeling when you got the first one?
I do. You feel like a king of the world. You know, that first year I was kind of along for the ride, but I had a couple starts in New England. But then the second one we won, you know, really contributed to that team, felt more of a part of it. But it's an unbelievable feeling to the culmination of so much hard work to be a champion is a rare feeling, and we need to get an orange one.
How often do you break them out, and what type of occasions would you pull your Super Bowl rings out for?
I'll break them out upon request, or usually when I go to a school, if I'm talking to a school or a group of kids or any type of charity function, that those are usually the time it comes out. They come out.
Are there any particular features about yours that you really find cool?
I think that those last two in New England, they really went all out. So there's a lot of diamonds on there. So definitely like that. But seeing a Lombardi in a diamond is very special. And I think the ring symbolizes so much. It's football is a yearly proposition, and to be a champion is something that you can never take for granted, and they can never take away from you. But we're not really focusing on those. We need to focus on putting ourselves in a position to get another one.
Are they your most prized possessions?
Absolutely. Most prized by far.
Ted actually played in three straight Super Bowls with the Patriots. In 2017, he was on the losing end when the Eagles Philly specialed their way to a 41-33 win. Bengals newcomer Sidney Jones IV was a rookie with Philadelphia that year. He was coming back from a torn Achilles that he suffered at his pro day and made his NFL debut in the Eagles' final regular season game that year. Sidney, do you remember the emotion of receiving that Super Bowl ring?
Yeah, it was definitely a crazy, crazy experience in general. But even just the moment when we won, just sprinting on the field and just celebrating with the teammates and everybody, just looking at the journey, and like it's all so surreal. But just receiving it was just like more surreal. Like, whoa, like this is actually, I got a Super Bowl ring. Like now, it's just another huge piece of memorabilia, biggest one ever probably. So it was just a cool thing,
Do you ever wear it? Do you break it out for special occasions? Do you show it to kids when you speak to groups? How do you use your Super Bowl ring, if at all?
I rarely ever wear it. I actually wore it once this year for the first time in about 6-7 years. And that was at a wedding. So it usually stays tucked in the safe and never sees light.
Are there any features about that Eagles ring that you find especially cool or interesting, something about the design or something that's inscribed on it?
Not really. It might have something inscribed on it, like a motto that we were saying that year. Maybe hungry dogs run faster or something like that.
Not Philly special?
Maybe that too. It's something. It's something that was, that stuck with us.
Is it your most prized possession?
Not really. I'm not a big possession guy. And also partially because I didn't really have too much input on the field and, in that type of way. But I was on the team. I have a Super Bowl ring. So maybe if I get one, I'm playing, I'm, doing my thing, the team's doing their thing, it all comes together, that makes it like 1,000 times more special. So,
February of this year.
Yeah, that's the goal.
Tom Brady was on the losing end of that Super Bowl, but he came back to win a ring the following year in New England, and then won another 2 years later in Tampa Bay, where his teammates included Alex Kappa.
Alex, do you remember the moment that you received yours and then what the emotions were like?
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It's a pretty extravagant ring, so It was pretty cool to get a cool little ceremony. Celebration was great.
Do you break it out? And what occasions would you pull it out for?
I've never worn it for an occasion. Maybe when I get another one, I'll throw it on.
Are there any specific features of that Bucks Super Bowl ring that you like or found cool?
Oh, yeah, the top comes off. So you unscrew the top, and then in there's, like, the stadium inside. I think some teams have done that since then, but I think we were the first one.
Is it your most prized possession?
No.
What do you value more?
I don't know, my dog. I mean, it's cool, but, like, it's just a symbol, you know?
A hero to dog lovers everywhere, Alex Kappa. In 2021, safety Nick Scott earned a Super Bowl ring at the Bengals' expense. After only starting one regular season game in his first three seasons, he started all four postseason games in helping the Rams win the Super Bowl. Nick, do you remember the feeling when you received it?
Oh, man. Yeah, I was just, I don't know how to describe it. I was overwhelmed, but I wasn't overwhelmed. I was shocked, but I wasn't shocked. And I was just extremely happy and just felt extreme feelings of just being blessed and just thankful for the opportunity I had to not only play in the Super Bowl, but be a starter.
Do you wear it? Do you show it off? If so, what are the occasions?
So I haven't wore it to an occasion yet. I thought about wearing it to somebody's wedding. I decided not to because I didn't want to, you know, distract anybody from, you know, their event. So I haven't wore it yet. But I do put it on from time to time just around the house and just kind of look at it on my finger and then throw it back in the box and think, man, that was cool, and then get on with my day. But it's awesome to have. I kind of keep it out in my house, nothing like too flashy or anything like that, but it's definitely something that family members are excited to see and put on and everything like that.
Teams try to have some sort of feature that's unique. It might be a saying that meant something to the team. It might be some sort of statistic or something. Mm-hmm. Is there something about the Rams ring that's especially meaningful to you?
You can unscrew the top and you have the makeup of SoFi Stadium, which is really cool. But I think the coolest part is if you take the top off and you flip the top and look inside the top, there's a little bit of the piece of the game ball from the Super Bowl that's kind of stuck in there. So that's definitely cool. Everybody got the game ball, which is a kind of great thing to look at and think of. So that's probably my favorite part about it.
Final question. Is it your most prized possession?
My most prized possession. That's a good question. I think so. Yeah. I'll go with that for now. Most prized possession. I was going to say my son, but that's not really like a possession. That's more like a loved one. So, yeah, I think the ring takes the cake.
Alex Kappa said his dog, but I think that's kind of the same thing. It's a living creature.
Yeah, it's a living creature. That's not necessarily like a object or anything like that. I know my wife would kill me if I said her. Like, I'm not an object, but yeah, the ring definitely. It's definitely probably one of the most expensive objects I have besides maybe a house.
There's one final Super Bowl champ on the current roster, Orlando Brown Jr., who helped the Chiefs beat Philly last February. All right, Orlando, you're a little bit different from the guys that I've talked to because you have not received yours yet. June 15th is the big day. Do you know anything about what it's going to look like? Have you seen, you know, artists' renderings or anything?
I haven't, honestly. I have no idea what the ring's going to look like. I imagine it'll be pretty big, man. You know, obviously, man, it's a ton of great franchises in this league. And, you know, getting one, winning one in Kansas City was pretty special, man. Having that opportunity to go out there and do it for a great franchise like that, man, it was pretty cool. And, you know, I'm sure that ring will be pretty special.
Ever held one from another team?
This will be my first time, man. I wanted it to be like that. You know, I had never even visited a Super Bowl, man. I had opportunities to go to games and go experience it, but, you know, man, I really wanted to be able to take it all in for the first time as a player, and so I've never held a ring.
Do you see yourself wearing it, showing it off, pulling it out for special occasions? Do you know at this point?
I don't, man. I'm going to be honest with you. I think, you know, for me, man, I've kind of already, you know, moved forward into, you know, what I want to do this year. And, you know, to me, being able to bring a ring here to Cincinnati is important. And, man, that's something that, you know, with this franchise being a franchise that gave me the opportunity to really be who I want to be as a franchise left tackle, man, I think it would mean so much to me to be able to do that. And so, you know, man, that's really what's been on my mind is bringing one here to the city.
So the gun sounds at the end of the game against the Eagles last year. How quickly do you start thinking, man, I'm going to get a Super Bowl ring?
Oh, man, I mean, I remember Jalen Hurts throwing the ball and he kind of slipped. And, man, I mean, I just remember thinking to myself, like, man, this is crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm about to win the Super Bowl and, you know, his ball hits the ground, confetti starts flying. You're hugging coaches, you're hugging your teammates, and it's all so surreal, man. You see your family. It's truly, I mean, it's one of the greatest feelings in the world.
What I like is that you're a few weeks away from receiving your first and you're already thinking about your second.
Absolutely, man. That's what it's about, man. We're striving to get better, get great every single day.
So there's the answer to the trivia question. The six current Bengals to win Super Bowl rings are Trevor Siemian, Ted Karras, Sidney Jones IV, Alex Kappa, Nick Scott, and Orlando Brown Jr. That's going to do it for this episode of the Bengals Booth Podcast, brought to you by Kettering Health, the official healthcare provider of the Bengals, by Bengals Picks and Ultimate Bengals. They're free to play with tickets and signed merchandise up for grabs. By Paycor, the official HR software provider of the Bengals, and by AltaFiber, future-proof fiber internet. Elevate your connection with AltaFiber. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe to this podcast. And if you have a minute, give it a rating or share a comment. That helps more Bengals fans find us. I'm Dan Hoard, and thanks for listening to the Bengals Booth Podcast.